Welcome to Torah Timecha HaVtorah with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and this week we have a special Torah reading with three components. We read the Parshas HaShavua, which is Parshas Truma. Since Shabbos coincides with Rosh Chodesh, we read the section about the Rosh Chodesh sacrifice. Additionally, we read the special maftir of Parshas Shkalim, and our HaVtorah corresponds to this theme as well. The Haftorah is taken from Malachim Beis, chapter 12, verses 1 to 17. This passage discusses King Yehoash of Yehuda and his ambitious initiative to restore and renovate the Beis HaMikdash using the national half-shekel donations. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the beginning of the month of Adar marked the collection of the half-shekel for communal sacrifices. Even today, we uphold this tradition by reading these verses. The pasuk that speaks of machatzis ha-shekel that we will read in our maftir from chapter 30, verse 12, ki tisa es rosh b'nei Yisrael lifkudehem v'nasnu ish kofer nafsho la'shem bifkodosam v'lo yieh bahem negef bifkodosam. When you take the count of B'nai Yisrael to determine their numbers, each man shall give an atonement pledge for his soul to Hashem when you count them. Thus there will be no plague among them when you count them. And continues, Ze yitnu, kol ha'over al hapkudim machatzis ha-shekel b'shekel ha-kodesh, esrim geira ha-shekel machatzis ha-shekel truma la-Hashem. Everyone passing by to be counted must give this half shekel, based on the shekel of the holy sanctuary, where a shekel is 20 geira. Half such a shekel must be given as a truma offering to Hashem. The Medrash tells us that this was one of the instances where Hashem showed Moshe a visual representation. The Hashem removed from beneath his throne of glory a coin of fire and showed it to Moshe. He said to him, this they shall give, meaning something like this they shall give. Medrash Tanchuma Kitisa 9. This is fascinating. In other cases where Moshe needed divine assistance to visualize a mitzvah, such as sanctifying the new moon or constructing the menorah, it is understandable why Hashem needed to show him the image. But why was a visual necessary for the half shekel? The pasuk itself defines it precisely. A shekel is 20 geira, and half of that is 10. What was Moshe struggling to grasp? Furthermore, a coin of fire does not possess weight. So what exactly was Hashem demonstrating? Many explain that Moshe was not confused by the physical aspects of the mitzvah, but rather by its power. The Torah states that the half shekel would bring atonement. Chazal debate what it atones for, the Chet Ha'egel, the sale of Yosef, and as we will soon see, even salvation from Haman's decree. How could such a small and seemingly insignificant donation achieve such monumental atonement? The Gemara in Megillah 13b provides a striking insight that when Haman said, if it pleases the king, let it be written that they be destroyed and I will weigh out 10,000 kikar silver into the hands of those who perform the work to be brought into the king's treasures. That when Haman plotted to destroy the Jewish nation and offered to pay for that with 10,000 kikar silver to Ahasuerus, the Gemara Megillah quotes Reish Lakish, who explains, it was well known to Hashem who created the world that Haman would one day weigh out shkalim against the Jewish people. Therefore, Hashem preceded their shkalim to his shkalim. This is why the Mishnah states on the first of Adar, they announced the obligation to give the shkalim. Tosfos notes that Haman's 10,000 kikar of silver was actually equivalent to a half shekel multiplied by 600,000 Jews. In other words, the Jewish people had already countered Haman's decree through their mitzvah. This idea is profound. The machatzis ha-shekel was not merely a tax or a communal obligation. It was a spiritual force, a shield of protection for generations to come. Remarkably, during the Purim story, as today, the practice of the Machatzis HaShekel was upheld solely through reading about the mitzvah, as the Jewish people were in exile and could not physically donate. And this reading alone was enough to bring about salvation. And we, together with Moshe, are amazed at the power of the half shekel. Our Haftorah shows us a time when the Jewish nation was in a really difficult situation, and the half shekel truly uplifted them. This is the story of King Yoash. The Haftorah recounts King Yoash's deep connection to the Beis HaMikdash after the assassination of Ahaziah, king of Yehuda. The wicked queen mother Atalia, daughter of Ahav, king of Yisrael, seized power. To secure her rule, she embarked on a murderous rampage, massacring her own grandchildren. Miraculously, through the bravery of his aunt Yehosheva, the infant Yoash was rescued and hidden in the Beis HaMikdash for 6 years. During Atalia's reign, she inflicted severe spiritual and physical damage, instituting idol worship, building temples for Baal throughout the land. In Malachim Beis, chapter 11, the Navi describes the dramatic coup led by Yehoyada, the Kohen Gadol, who was actually the husband of that aunt who saved Yoash's life. And this coup successfully deposed Atalia and placed Yoash on the throne. Verse 1 of our Haftorah states, Yoash was 7 years old when he became king, and his rule began in the 7th year of Yehu, the king of Yisrael. What kind of king was Yoash? Verse 3 offers insight. Yoash did what was right in the eyes of Hashem all the days that Yehoyada the Kohen instructed him. By his 23rd year as king, Yoash launched a major initiative to restore the Beis HaMikdash. Though the structure was only 155 years old and had been built with great craftsmanship, it had suffered severe damage under Atalia's rule. Given his personal history, having been hidden and protected in the Beis HaMikdash for 6 years, Yoash felt a deep connection to the Beis HaMikdash. In verse 5, we can see clearly why our Haftorah was chosen as an accompaniment to the Maftir of Parsha Shkalim. Yoash says to the Kohanim, all the sacred money that is brought to the house of Hashem, the half shekel donations representing the value of one's age, and all voluntary contributions shall be used for the repair of the Beis HaMikdash. Initially, the system allowed Kohanim to collect these funds and oversee their allocations. However, in verse 8, Yoash expresses dissatisfaction with the pace of progress. King Yoash summoned Yehoyada the Kohen and the other Kohanim and said, why are you not repairing the Beis HaMikdash? From now on, do not take money from your donors. Instead, give it directly to the repairs. Radak explains that the Kohanim had been saving up the money to amass a larger sum before starting repairs, but Yoash wanted a more immediate and transparent process. Thus, he instituted a new system. Donations were placed in a sealed collection box near the Mizbeach. This practice, one of the earliest known forms of the modern pushka, charity box, ensured that funds went directly towards the renovations. Verse 11 describes how the royal treasurer and Kohen Gadol would periodically count the money and use it for materials and labor. The funds covered everything from wood and stone to the wages of the builders and the masons. This Haftorah presents a hopeful vision, a time of peace, prosperity, and national unity. A moment of peace, prosperity, and national unity. The people of Yehuda, their king, and the Kohanim work together to strengthen and beautify the Beis HaMikdash. Though this period of harmony proved temporary, it offers a glimpse of what can be achieved when we transcend arrogance and self-interest, uniting for a higher purpose. This Haftorah truly gives us a window into understanding the essence of Machatzis HaShekel. Every Jew contributing, connecting to the tzibor, to the community, and making their life meaningful. A Jew is counted by contributing. We don't merely exist. We live with a deep understanding that our lives matter and that we can and must contribute to the tzibur. A life of self-focus is not only an egotistical existence, it is a cheap and empty one. When we contribute, our lives gain meaning. And as the Alshech, 1500s in Tzfas, quotes his contemporary, Rav Shlomo Alkovitz, the half shekel teaches Bnei Yisrael the nature of their unity, so that no one should think he stands apart from his fellow. Each person is but a half. Only by joining together do we become whole. And in this we understand as well the power of the half shekel to fight against the slander of Haman. Yeshno amachad mefuzar umeforad, that we are a scattered nation suffering from disunity and lack of purpose. This tiny half shekel is so powerful in its potential to unify and elevate every single member of the Jewish nation, reminding us that we are indeed unified and uplifted, and that we, every single member of the Jewish nation, have what to contribute. This profound lesson remains just as relevant today, at a time when so many Hamans rise against us, leveling this very accusation. Let us heed the call of the half shekel. Let us, our leaders, our factions, and every single one of us, recognize that we all count, and that we all must contribute to our tzibor, our community, and that we must respect each other's contributions as well. And when we do, we are worthy of miracles. Thank you for learning together.